Anyway, today we're continuing our series called Doors. This is our third week of the series. If you've missed out on any of it, it's on iTunes. Shameless plug, right? Now, I'll just kind of give you the up to speed where we've been, what we've talked about. The first week, we talked about John chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. If anybody comes in through me, he will go in and out and find pastures. And there's a lot of really cool things that are going on there. But the concept for us was that Jesus is the door. That's the way. The word door, we'll look at it again, but the Greek word is stura. Which just sounds so, if you roll your tongue, man, you just sound so much more intelligent than you really are. And so anyway, that word means kind of in a metaphorical sense, it means it's the door to eternal life. Jesus is the door to eternal life. And so that's kind of what we talked about the first week. Last week, we talked about how this is an open door policy. Like God has given, each and every one of us has a plan. Like God has a plan for you. And he's got his will for you. And we try to mesh those into, you know, those two into one sometimes. And I just think there's kind of a distinction between them. God's will for you is more about what's going on inside of you. It's about your character. It's about who you are becoming. God's plan is more about the specifics, what you do with who it is that you're becoming. So that's what we talked about last week. And this morning, we're going to talk about them open doors. So everybody, you may, we had some keys. They're really cute. So if you guys like necklaces and charms, you probably are sitting on it if you didn't know you had one. So you may want to, you guys, have y'all ever seen, I think it's a Far Side little comic, and it's a lady posting up a lost dog poster, and it's a large lady, and the dog is like stuck on the backside, right? So that may be where your key is. So at any rate, we're continuing our series, and we're going to talk about open doors. And this is the way that this word gets used sometimes in Christianity. Doors oftentimes refer to opportunity. And so that's what we're going to look at specifically this morning. We're going to talk about how God places opportunities in front of us or doors in front of us. We're also going to talk about kind of how we follow his, because how many of you guys, maybe you're awesome, maybe you never struggle with this, but sometimes I wonder if that was God leading me to do something or if it was bad pizza, right? Like that can be a difficult thing sometimes. And so we're going to kind of navigate through that and give you some handles and what you can take away from that. And the last thing we're going to talk about is the emotions that come along with that. Because how many of you know that everything that is unknown and uncharted and new has a lot of emotion that comes with it? There's a lot of fear and anxiety and trepidation and other really cool words like that. So what we're going to do is just dive in and look at this, the doors of opportunity, these open doors and these doors to opportunity. One of the ways that we use this word, like I said before, is that we say things like this. Maybe you've said things like this. Well, you know, I was doing this, and then God opened a door for me to do blank, right? Have you ever done that? I've done that. Like, God opened a door for me to go to this school, or God opened a door for me to get a job at this place, or God opened a door with that hottie, right? I mean, God's all about, God's a lovemaker, baby. He's a matchmaker, matchmaker, find me a match. Catch me a catch, something like that. Anyway, I mean, read the Bible, read the Song of Solomon, you'll find out. Unless you're not 18, you can't read it yet. It's off limits. That's some business. Anyway, where were we going? What were we talking about? You guys are so perverted. So God uses this expression, or that we use this word door a lot of times in Christian lingo, just to kind of refer to the way that God opens, he puts opportunities in front of us. He opens doors for us to go from one place to the next place. And if you look back at John chapter 10, verse 9, it uses kind of the understanding in the context is that we're sheep, Jesus is the shepherd, and he leads us from one pasture to the next pasture, and most of us aren't farmers and ranchers, so this doesn't really register, but the idea is that, you know, have you guys ever seen cattle just sitting there just gnawing on grass? Like, it's unbelievable how much grass that a cow eats, and so what they'll do is they'll eat all of the grass in one pasture. And so the shepherd has to lead them, or the rancher, or whatever, you know, the specific term would be, has to lead them to another pasture so that they can be sustained in that other pasture. And God does the same thing for us. He leads us from one pasture. When we're done there doing whatever it is that we were supposed to do and being whoever it is that we were supposed to be, he leads us to the next pasture. Does that make sense? Good. I'm glad it does. John chapter 10, verse 9. This is our context, our verse. It says, I am the door. This is Jesus talking. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. It's an open door that he places in front of us for us to go to the next thing that we're supposed to go to. And don't, man, we talked about this last week. Don't jump from thing to thing, because that's just garbage, right? Like, people that can't hold a job for more than 2 weeks, you're not spiritual, you're not awesome, you're lazy, and you're a lot of other things that I probably shouldn't say in church, right? Like, be consistent, be faithful. Don't quit when things get hard just because they get hard. Like, this life is so much more rewarding when you do hard things. So, that was free, didn't cost you a cent, unrelated to what we're talking about, mostly. The Greek word, like we said, used for door is thura. So everybody on three. One, two, three, thura. That was good. And this is what it means, definition. It says, it's an opening, like a door, an entrance, a way or passage into. Metaphorically, it means the door to salvation, the open door to opportunity, or the door to the kingdom of heaven. So, like we talked about the first week, it's obviously the door, we believe, to eternal life, the door to salvation, the door to heaven. Like Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father except through me. So we believe that Jesus is that door. But it's not just about the sweet by and by, the pie in the sky, and all that stuff when you die. It's very poetic, right? It's not just about that. Like Jesus, matter of fact, if you look at John chapter 10, verse 10, like the next verse after this, Jesus said that he came to give us a full and abundant life. Now, here, right? It's not just there, but it's here and now. Now and later, right? The candy, I should have got some thrown at you, because that'd be fun. And so, as we attempt to follow Jesus, I'm just convinced that he opens doors to opportunity for us. He places these opportunities in front of us that we can walk through to get to the pastures that he wants us to get to. And so, this can relate to your gifting. This can relate to your calling. How many of you guys feel like you have a calling? Like, it's so much more than just a career, but like a calling, like something that you were created to do, like this purpose inside of you that can't be necessarily confined or defined by careers. I mean, it's like something that you just got to do, right? And it may be that you can find a way to make a career out of that. If you can, that's the perfect scenario, right? But every one of us probably has this thing, and you may not be able to pinpoint it, but you know that there's this thing that you're supposed to do, this person that you're supposed to be, and all of that stuff. So the doors that God places in front of us, they can be about your calling, they can be about your career, they can be about so many different things. There's big doors and little doors, right? 3-0 doors, 36-inch doors, 28-inch doors. I don't understand this. I've done some remodeling in my life, and they put the smallest doors on the bathrooms. I don't know why. If you guys can figure that out, you tell me why that is. Last week, that's supposed to be funny. It wasn't. So last week, we saw a guy. We went to this thing. I told you guys we've been doing this thing called Sunday Night Live, where we partner with another church and another ministry. And so last week, there was this dude who literally is in the Guinness World Book of Records for bench press. Dude bench pressed 711, was it 711, 717 pounds? Raw, like no bodybuilding suit, no the bench press suit, like the power lifters use, like none of that. And apparently they drug tested and he's completely natural. And I call garbage, but that's just me. Like, that's unnatural. But dude was gargantuan, huge. And so he started telling us this story about kind of his life and the path that he was on at first. By the time he got into college, he kind of started, you know, getting mixed up with some of the wrong people, made some poor choices. Those poor choices led him into prison. He had a 50-year sentence, and it may or may not have been for something that he did. He may have gotten framed, but that's irrelevant. So the point is, he was with the wrong people, made bad choices, walked through the wrong doors, and had a 50-year sentence. While he was in prison, he got saved. He started following Jesus. He started reading his Bible. He started trying to make the right decisions. And then God started opening doors for him. He got out, 50-year sentence, got out in 18 months. Like, not only did he get out, the governor, I think, of the state? The governor of the state wrote a full pardon for any crime that he had ever committed. Like, he was completely free. You want to tell me that God doesn't place opportunities in front of us when we start doing the right thing, when we start walking the right path? And so, man, here's the thing. You can make good decisions, or you can make God decisions. You can make decisions based on what you think is right, or you can make decisions based on what God thinks is right. And God is always better than good every time. That's just my opinion. So that's the first one, man, that opportunities are placed in front of us by God. He puts these doors in front of us for us to walk through. But, man, you got to make the right decisions, and you got to try to follow his lead, which is our second point. And this one, like I said, I understand that this one can be tough sometimes. Because you know what I think when somebody tells me that God told them to do something? I think you're crazy, just personally. Because, and that what's it's frustrating because when you see things misused and abused, then you kind of just you kind of become jaded towards all of it. And so I've seen like some the spiritual their granola bars, fruits, nuts, and flakes, right? Like I've seen those, and what it does is it just turns you off to all of it. But that's not the way that it's supposed to be. Because if you just read the New Testament, and there are so many examples of God leading people to do things, and it talks about how the Holy Spirit is this guide for our life, and He leads us along the path that He wants us to go. And so, put aside all of maybe the bad feelings or emotions or experiences that you've had with people that just you're gonna have nut jobs in life. That's just the bottom line, right? So just don't let those cause you to be jaded or skewed towards what we're actually supposed to be doing. That was good. So follow my lead. I believe that God will lead us to the right doors. I believe that there's a lot of ways that this can play out. And if God speaks to you in an audible voice, you're awesome. Doesn't happen for me like that. It's usually an impression or this feeling that I get. Like, because here's the deal. Like, you're probably not going to come up with this fantastic idea all on your own. Right? Like, you're kind of limited in your cognitive abilities, just like I am. Like, we have limitations. God is God. God is infinite. We're very finite. And so if you had this fantastic idea that could help serve other people, that was probably an idea from God. It's probably a lead from God that you should follow to walk through that door. If it's something, I heard somebody say this one time, the devil's not going to tell you to do something good, right? And so if it's doing something good, it's probably something that God has placed in front of you or put in your heart for you to do. So walk through those doors. Listen. And this is where we get messed up. Because I know you get messed up because I get messed up like this. We get so busy that we can't listen. And I do this with my kids. If you knew my kids, you would understand. My son, man, he will wear you out. The same thing, he has no problem saying the same thing 13 times. I mean, over. And I'm like, son, if I didn't answer you the first time, there's a reason, you know. But anyway, we get so busy, and let me define the difference between busy and stupid. Stupid is you're looking at your Facebook while your kid's trying to have a conversation with you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Pet peeve. Man, I get so frustrated. Man, we go into restaurants, and I see these couples that are sitting at a table supposed to be on a date, and they're looking at their phones. I'm like, just come on, man. Take your phone and do something with it. I got to figure out a good way to convey that because it's just not working. I want to say bad things, and I can't do that. Anyway, we're so much better by taking the time to listen. And when we listen, God will speak to us in whatever way it is that it works out for us and whatever way it takes for Him to communicate to us. And we're so much better passing up good ideas for God ideas. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, you've probably heard this. As a matter of fact, some of you guys probably have this tattooed somewhere. Somewhere, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Like, that would be a good place to stop, because that's we do this. We think that we've got this figured out. We think we've got a corner on the market. We think that we're so intelligent or whatever it is. Just, you have limitations. You are finite. God is not. So, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. He will open up doors of opportunity for you to walk through. Rather than doing it our way, we should follow the lead of the shepherd, right? Coming back to the context, John chapter 10. This is what's really funny. Have you heard anything about sheep? And this one's kind of, we don't like to hear this in church because it's kind of, have you ever had a backhanded compliment? Like somebody says something to the effect of, oh, you actually look nice today. Well, thank you, I think. Yeah. Oh, you actually, right? And so this is a backhanded compliment, like people being referred to as sheep, because from what I understand, like sheep are dumb, like just dumb. And so we've got Jesus as our shepherd, and we've got us dumb sheep, right? And it's so true, because like if you just look at people, you look at humanity, you look at even people that are really trying to follow Jesus, man, we make a lot of just stupid decisions, right? Really dumb mistakes. And so I think it's a perfect correlation. I look at myself, and I'm like, I'm a sheep. Yep, sure enough. And so this is what's really interesting. There's kind of a distinction between sheep who follow the shepherd and goats who kind of do their own thing. Like, goats are very stubborn. I had a pet goat at one point in my life, which is just a funny story. His name was Gizmo. It was awesome. And so, dude, you'd just be walking up to the house, and homie would come up, and he would just like, wham, and headbutt you. And I'm like, very entertaining. So, goats are very stubborn. They do their thing their way. And so I heard somebody say it this one time. I thought it was funny. It's really cheesy, but it's kind of funny. And so goats, when you tell them to do something, they're like, nah. Right? Nah. Nah. When you tell a sheep to do something, it's like, yeah. Yeah. Sheep follow the path. They listen to the shepherd. They go to the pastures that the shepherd leads them to. Goats, and we're goats sometimes, aren't we? Because we do it our way. We do what we want to do. This is, man, I hate it when I even catch myself kind of thinking like this sometimes. This is my life. Because according to the Bible, it's not your life. Your life is not your own. Your life is not your own. Jesus bought you. He purchased you by giving his life for you. So your life is not your own. Be a sheep. Listen to the voice. Follow where Jesus would want you to go. Just, and this is what's cool. We'll break this down. Let's kind of, I got to stay on track. Otherwise, I'm going to start doing crazy stuff, right? I told the guys in the sound booth that I'm probably going to bust up, like, in my soul a little bit this morning. I got to remind myself that I'm white. Because sometimes I don't think I am, but I am. And so when I'm trying not to act white, I act really white. It's a really bad scenario. But I told him I was going to get out of ha this morning. And so I did it. My sheep hear my voice. John chapter 10, verse 27. This is what it says. And this is all kind of in that same passage. It says this. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Yeah. Right? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Like where I tell them to go, they go. They recognize the doors that I put in front of them, and they walk through those doors. And this is what's fantastic. We'll talk about the emotions of this. Like, we don't even necessarily have to know all of the details. We don't have to know exactly how it's going to work out. We just got to follow. Like, and what's powerful, what's so powerful about that is that it takes all of the responsibility off of you. It's on God at that point. If you're following, just think about it as a parent. I can understand this. It makes sense. If I ask my children to do something, like we talked about last week, this is so funny. I love Jesus. He's like his witty humor or sarcastic humor or you're an idiot humor. He's very funny. And he was like, okay, if your parents, you're good parents, right? If your kid asks for a piece of bread, would you give him a stone? Right? You guys remember that? Oh, no, because you weren't here last week. That's just, come to church every week. Come to church every week, right? So he's like, look, if a kid asks for a piece of bread, you're not going to give him a stone. If he asks for a fish, here you go, buddy. Here's a viper, right? Nobody would do that. Nobody would do that because we trust our parents. We should trust our Father that he's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us whatever it is that we need. So here's some ways that we can follow his lead. And maybe this will help you in some way. When the impossible becomes possible, God's in the business of that. Like, that's his working. That's his forte. That's what he do, right? When the impossible becomes impossible, that's an opportunity in front of you that obviously God has placed in front of you. And I just think about my life and how, and you know you, right? You know you pretty well. And most of us have a pretty honest estimation of ourselves. Like, we don't deserve what we get. Because when people say that they deserve what they got or they deserve more than they got, there's just a lot of pride there, and they're not really recognizing that they don't. I mean, if we want to talk about what we deserve, I mean, we deserve hell. That's what we deserve. But what we get is grace. What we get is mercy. And we don't deserve any of that. So when the impossible becomes possible in our life, it's obviously this opportunity that God has placed in front of us. And I can look at my life as just a testament to that. There's no reason in the world that I should be right here today, standing in front of you as a pastor of a church. Like, I know me, and I know the stupid things that I've done in my life. There's no explanation. And it's funny, because I think back to the Old Testament, and everybody uses this story. It's a little overplayed, but it's really funny, about how God, if God can use a donkey, or, you know, a jackfruit donkey, all right? If God can use a donkey, well, I guess he can use me too. And if God can use me, he sure the heck can use you. That's the way that I see it. So if the impossible becomes possible in your life, it's an opportunity for you to walk through it. It's this door that God places in front of you. We had an awesome family that came, and they were part of the church for a couple of years, and they just moved to Austin, the Tenuyans, Bianca and Johnny. It was funny. I didn't realize that Johnny's nickname is Johnny Teriyaki because nobody could pronounce Tenuyan, so John Silos just started calling him Johnny Teriyaki, which is hilarious. And so Bianca really wanted to move to Austin, and she had been there for a few years, loved it. And Johnny, like, his roots were here. Like, this is where he loved. He had a lot of friends here, had family here. And he was like, I really don't want to do it, but I'm going to pray about it, which is always dangerous, right? And so he kind of put this list of demands on God, like, this has got to happen, this has got to happen, this has got to happen. And if all of this happens, then we'll know that that's where we're supposed to go. And so one by one, the impossible becomes possible. And sure enough, they were confirmed that, you know, they knew that this is where God wanted them to be in their life. So they moved to Austin, which are a bunch of jerks. But anyway, you could tell them I said that too. So that's one way. When the impossible becomes possible, could it be that God is placing a door in front of you to do something? The second one is this, and we kind of talked about this a little bit, the prompting or the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I know that can sound kind of kooky, maybe if you're not familiar with church or all, but here's the deal. Like, when you're saved, this is kind of the language they use in the Bible. When you cross that line of salvation, you say, Jesus, my life is not my own. I recognize that you bought me. And like it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. Say you've done that. Then it talks about the next step, that the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. Romans chapter 8 is a beautiful example of what it means to live by the Spirit. We've got the Spirit of God inside of us, and he leads us. He compels us to do certain things, and sometimes it's like, no, right? Don't do certain things. Like, that's very important. Correct? Because sometimes we just need a good slap on the wrist. Like, because we start thinking, and I'm good. Let me just tell you how I work. I'm really good at justifying stuff. I can justify anything. I can make stupid things sound really good in this noggin. But that's just me. So I need a no. So anyway, God does that. Holy Spirit leads us like that. That's one of the functions of the Holy Spirit in our life, is to lead you, to compel you to do certain things, to guide you a certain way, or to keep you away from other things. And so we have to learn how to discern what is us and what is God, what is good and what is God, right? You just got to learn how to listen. And a lot of that is busyness. Like, don't be so busy. Take time to listen. We were talking to the men's small group, the man group, yesterday. We had breakfast. Awesome. If you missed it, you're not awesome. I'm just kidding. You're pretty awesome, but you missed it. And we were talking how, man, for me, this is just my personal story, my personal struggle maybe. My attitude is directly related to my devotional time. With the time that I take to spend with God every single day, my attitude directly reflects that or lack thereof. So if I'm short with people, I'm snarky, I'm irritable, odds are I didn't read my Bible or I didn't pray like I should have, right? And you may be different. You may be better than me, but that's just me. And so God leads us. If we take the time to listen, God will help us to see what it is that he wants us to do. And the last one of those, following his lead, is that God uses people. God has used people in my life so many different times, and we talk about this a lot. God uses people to encourage us because we get discouraged sometimes. Life can be very difficult sometimes. God uses people to give us hope because a lot of times we feel like, you know, we're at the end of our rope, we're in despair. God uses people to do all of these things for us, but God also uses people to kind of lead us to where it is that we need to be. You know what people do? The right people. Not the wrong people. The wrong people point out all your flaws. The right people point out all your potential. Ooh, right? And man, that's so true, because this is how it works. God uses people to get you where you need to be, because people, oftentimes, they see things in you that you can't even see in yourself. We get so clouded, our judgment is so clouded, and our perception is so clouded by our feelings of insecurity, or we remember all the stupid things that we've done or the shame that we carry, but other people can see your potential. They can see past that. So God uses people to point you in the right direction. God uses people to lead you to the doors that you need to walk through. So listen to people, the right people, have the right they in your life. And I've got a couple of copies of that book. John, are those back there? Look by you. Two copies. I got two copies. Bring them up here. Hurry. Run. John runs all the time, so this is not a... John ran the half marathon yesterday. Y'all give it up for John. And his legs are still fresh enough that he can jump on top of that. I'd have been a dead man. Anybody want a copy? It's called 50 Shades of They. That was funny. You want a copy? I quit. I just quit. Yes, 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 yes. I'm not picking. They can be mad at you. They can't be mad at me. Hey, y'all can share it. Y'all can share it. How about that? You get it this week, she gets it next week. Done. Bring it back. Anyway. Oh, never mind. Mikey. Attaboy. It's just about having the right they in your life. And God uses people. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, it says this. Where no counsel is, one version says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And there's a lot of book or verses in the book of Proverbs that kind of that allude to this, like advice and wisdom is in the multitude of counsel. And when you have the right people giving you the right advice, it'll help you get to the right door so that you can follow God's plan for your life. So that's the second one. God leads us. We just have to listen to the way that he leads us. This is the last one. And everybody said amen, because we're going to go eat in a minute. Listen, I love food as much as the next guy. I give you permission to say amen about food. We're going to go eat in a minute. Amen. Right. The last one is this. We're going to talk about the emotions of the open door. And like I said, we kind of, you know, hinted at this. How every new opportunity and every, you know, potential change in your life brings about a lot of fear, maybe. How many of you guys are anxious about things that you don't know about? I think that's a very natural emotion. It's a very natural response. So when these new doors are placed in front of us, we have to recognize and just realize that there are going to be some emotions that come along with it and how to overcome those emotions. There's a wide range of emotions. Some of them may be, I don't know, fear, anxiety, uncertainty, trepidation. That's a fun word, trepidation. Everybody say trepidation. All right, that's good. You probably know what that means. You guys are, I can't pull anything over on you guys. We got all these like really intelligent folks that go to Laterno, and I was standing in there was a circle of guys. I kind of walked up and three out of the four of them were engineers. I was like, I'm out. I ain't even going to try, right? They're talking about potential and kinetic energy and how you can actually have both. I'm like, no, I'm done. So, some of these negative emotions that are associated with open doors, they're real. Like, they're very real, and they're very natural responses to the potential, the opportunities that are in front of you. But we can't allow those to cripple us or deter us from walking through the door. And, it's just remembering the character of the one who's leading you to the door, the fact that he's taking you to pastures, the fact that, just like we talked about, he's a good father. No good father is going to set you up for failure. He's leading you because he sees in full, you see in part. He knows what you need, and you don't see all of the picture yet. You don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but you can trust him. You can walk through that door and know that it's all going to work out in the end, because it always does. Isn't that funny how it always works out? It always works out. Like, even when we feel like it's not going to work out, you're here, right? It worked out. Somehow or another, you got through whatever it is that you were going through, so it's all going to work out. It always does. Ooh, that was very good. If we remember the character of the one that we're following, it will certainly aid in overcoming these powerful inhibitors, right? These things that would keep us from walking through the door. I heard this quote one time, actually just this week, from Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther, who was the founder kind of the Protestant Reformation. You guys are familiar with that? Sure. So this is what Martin Luther said. This was several hundred years ago in the 1600s. He said this, "I know not the way that God leads, but well do I know my God." Like, look, I don't know where God has taken me, and I don't know what's on the other side of the door, and I don't know exactly what that's going to mean, and I don't know exactly how it's all going to work out, and I don't know that it's going to be, you know, this, that, or the other, but I do know the one that is leading me to the other side, and he's good, and he's for me, and he wants me to win at life, hashtag winning, right? That's the God that we're following. That's the God that we serve. And what's so cool about this is if you put your trust in him and you walk through the door, you don't have to worry about it. Jesus said, stop worrying about your life. Just stop worrying about your life. What of your worries adds anything to your life? When we get so enamored with worry and we get overcome with worry and we allow it to control and dictate our life, it's not doing any good. So just trust the God. Walk through the door, and he's going to lead you to the right path. I love the way that Psalm 23, you guys, you're familiar with that. They sing it. They sing it. They may sing it, but they say it at funerals a lot, right? You've been to a funeral. I hate funerals, man. If you guys die, please ask somebody else to do it. I mean, I love you. I will be there. I'll put a suit on. I just don't want to preach funerals. I'm a baby at funerals. I'm just like blubbering. I can't even talk. I preached a funeral for somebody I didn't even know, and I started crying. I was like, God, this sucks. So for your sake, like, so you go out right with a bang. Don't ask me to do it, okay? I'm getting teared up thinking about it. Jeez. So you can trust your God. You may not know where he leads you, but you can trust your God. One of the verses that I tell my son is funny. Like, he tries to act like he's big and bad. He's kind of a sissy sometimes. And so I don't know what it is. Have you guys ever seen the movie Brave? Not exactly a horror film, right? I don't know what it is, but anything where you have an enemy that has face paint or a scar, it freaks him out, like freaks him out. So we went and watched Brave, and the big bear on there, Mardu, right? You guys not up on your kids' movies? Step up your game. So anyway, there's a big bear that's the enemy. His name is Mardu, and he's got this big scar on his face. So we watched Brave, Pixar, Disney, kid movie. He was freaked out. He couldn't even go to sleep that night. And I'm not kidding. So I have him in bed, and he's like, and what's really funny is he has these little lamps in his room, and one of the lamps was casting a shadow that absolutely looked like a bear. Unintentional. Promise it was unintentional. And so I had to go in there, and this is the verse, and we've used this over and over, and it helps him just to kind of, hey, man, just rein it in. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. It says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And what's cool, God has not given you a spirit of fear, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. It's the spirit that leads you. He'll also enable you to get to where you're trying to go, to overcome the emotions that you may be feeling when you go through it. In other words, we're going to wrap up. In other words, you got this because he's got you. And that's a powerful thing, man. Whatever you go through, whatever you deal with, whatever door that you're looking for, whatever door it is that you need to walk through, man, you can walk through it, and you got this because he's got you. I may not know where he leads me, but well do I know my God. And this Jesus is the one that said he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. He's like, I love the way that the King James says this. It says, lo, I'm with you always. I don't know what low means, but it sounds really powerful, right? Wherever you go, he's with you. He's for you. Romans chapter 8, maybe. It's Romans chapter 8, trust me. And it says, God talks about how he is with us and he'll never forsake us. And if he is with us, there's nothing else in the world that can separate us from his love. So you may not know exactly where he's leading you, but well do you know your God. You got this. Because he's got you. This morning, I want to pray for some people. Maybe you got these opportunities in front of you, and you're not exactly sure where it is that you need to go, what it is that you need to do. I just want to pray that you've got a sense of clarity in your life, that these doors become very obvious, that you know what it is that you're supposed to do. Or maybe you've walked through a door, and some of those emotions that we talked about, man, maybe they're getting to you. Maybe you were very fearful or anxious about the situation that you're in. I want to pray for you this morning. And I want to pray that you feel a sense of comfort because you trust the character of the God. Everybody close your eyes and bow your heads, and let me pray for us. Jesus, you are so good to us. You're so much better than we could possibly ever deserve. God, I'm so thankful for this morning. I'm so thankful for your grace. I'm so thankful for this life that you've given us. God, that it's not just about eternal life. It's not just a ticket out of hell, God, but it's an opportunity to live a real and full life. So God, this morning I pray for every person in the room that maybe has an opportunity in front of them and they just want to please you. They want to follow you. They want to know that they're making the right decisions for their life. God, I pray that you would give them a sense of clarity, that they would see clearly, not necessarily all of the details, but they would see clearly the direction that you would want them to go. God, I pray for anybody maybe that's already stepped through the door, and maybe they are having some of those natural responses, those emotions. God, I pray that every person in this room, every person in this room would just fully realize that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. God, that whatever we face, we can face it, knowing that you're with us, knowing that you're for us, and knowing that you're good. Jesus, we love you so much, and it's in your awesome name we pray. And everybody said, amen.